Hi, this is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. With me now is Dr. Vladimir Hachinsky, Professor of Neurology and Epidemiology at the University of Western Ontario in London, Canada. At the 2012 Alzheimer's Association International Conference, Dr. Hachinsky said that stroke may increase a patient's risk of Alzheimer's disease and vice versa. Dr. Hachinsky, a rat study found that amyloid beta was associated with larger infarcts and greater inflammation than the presence of amyloid beta. Could you please tell me about your human study of this association?
Yes, we've just begun studies in humans. As you may know, it is possible now to image in people both amyloid and inflammation, specifically activated microglia. And we have begun a study in humans, and the study is not completed, so I cannot give you definite conclusions. But so far, it looks as if we're on the right track. In other words, the people who had amyloid in the brain are the ones who deteriorated after a stroke. And also, we have a rather dramatic case of a man who had a small infarct that 4 months later looked as if it's pretty well healed. But when we did the imaging for the activated microglia, there was a festering hot inflammation spot. So it looks as if what we found in animals may well be true in humans as well. And the importance of that, of course, is that by the age of 73, half of people have some amyloid in the brain. And if they have amyloid and then they have a stroke, of course, it magnifies the effect and may be one of the causes of cognitive deterioration in the elderly.
What is the effect on cognition when a patient with amyloid deposition has a stroke?
Yes, from our limited human experience, it looks as if the combination is quite deadly in that it sets up a triangle of ischemia, inflammation, and then further amyloid deposition. Where the data are more definite is our experimental work, and we have been able to show that we can produce cognitive impairment in our animal models by a combination of amyloid deposition and stroke. But the good news is that we can prevent this by using anti-amyloid and anti-inflammatory agents. So our intention is to use combination therapy, anti-inflammatory agents and anti-amyloid agents in animals. And we want to use drugs that already have been used in people so that we don't have to wait a long time to begin testing this in humans. And once we show which combination works in animals, I think we'll be ready to move fairly quickly into human trials. And I think the importance of that is that clearly a stroke creates an acute situation. You have the amyloid and you create a whole chain of reactions. But I think the time may come that we will realize that amyloid deposition in the brain is not benign, and I mean we may well be taking prophylactic anti-amyloid agents in the future.
Could ischemia be associated with amyloid beta deposition?
Yes, that has been shown. It has been shown experimentally and also clinically, pathologically. That's a recognized fact.
How would you explain the correlation that the Framingham study found between change in executive function and stroke risk?
Yeah, probably because the commonest risk factor for stroke is hypertension. And hypertension tends to affect the small vessels of the brain, particularly the ones that have to do with the frontal basal systems. In other words, you know, there are three major systems that have to do with the frontal lobes and then the basal ganglia and thalamus. And so, probably because the brunt of hypertension is in that area and because silent infarcts tend to occur in that area, this is where executive function is mediated, and probably that is why it's a common manifestation.
How might measures that prevent stroke also reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, at least two ways. One, it has been shown that strokes are a risk factor for precipitating Alzheimer's disease. And there are a number of studies, including one from Baltimore longitudinal study, in which they show that if people who have Alzheimer's changes that by themselves would not give you Alzheimer's disease, if they have then a hemispheric stroke, it tips them into dementia. So one answer is that stroke itself can add to the damage and in a subset of patients tip them over. But the other The other major area, which is not well studied, is that the major risk factors for stroke are also risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. You know, hypertension, diabetes, physical inactivity. And so it may be that there are mechanisms apart from stroke that lead to the likelihood of developing clinical Alzheimer's disease.
Unhealthy lifestyle accounted for about 41% of all strokes, according to figures you cited from a study in Circulation.
Yeah, the doctor study and the Nan study, they're very well-known studies. These are observational studies, of course. And this is just lifestyle alone. And depending, if you look at ischemic stroke, actually it's half for each. In other words, the people with the healthiest lifestyle compared to the ones with the unhealthier lifestyle had half as many strokes. In other words, a healthy lifestyle seems to cut in half the risk of having ischemic stroke, which is the commonest one.
If unhealthy lifestyle accounts for 41% of strokes, how can we prevent the remaining 59% of strokes?
Yeah. Well, I think it would be unrealistic to believe that we can actually banish stroke altogether, because there are many causes. We talk about the common causes, but there are things like genetic diseases, you know, for example, CADASIL is an inherited disease that affects vessels, gives both strokes and dementia. There are traumatic causes of stroke. There are rare causes of stroke. So I think realistically, I don't think we'll ever banish stroke. The aim is to reduce the number of strokes, and secondly, to postpone strokes. In other words, it makes a huge difference whether someone has a stroke at 60 or whether they have it at 80. And so, going back to your question, there was a study that has been done by Martin O'Donnell and his colleagues, which involved 22 countries, and they looked at, 22,000 stroke cases, and they established that 10 factors account for 90% of the strokes. So in theory, if we could control perfectly the 10 risk factors, we could prevent 90% of the strokes. So I think the important point is not what the absolute number is. I think the important point is that we now know how to prevent a majority of strokes, and we have the scientific basis for believing that if we actually systematically implement what we know, that we probably can delay Alzheimer's disease.
Well, thank you for your time, Dr. Hutchinski.
Not at all, a pleasure.
This is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.